Loving God, be with us. Be in our minds, in our hearts. Touch us with your love and your presence and your ever-present grace. Amen. This morning, as we cope with sadness and loss in our community, the Transfiguration offers a poignant reminder of God's presence and guidance in the midst of those moments when our sense of reality, what we thought we could count on, has been turned upside down, inside out. The journey of faith is a difficult path. It calls us to places we don't necessarily want to be. It had called the disciples to what they hadn't wanted to hear. Yet in the Transfiguration, we are reminded that suffering and sacrifice are not the end. They are part of a journey that ultimately ends in resurrection. Dorothy Zola had said that for the Christian spiritual life, suffering is not something to be avoided. It is part of our human condition. The purpose of suffering, as part of our path to salvation, is to make us more fully human. As we are broken open, we develop a greater capacity to feel, to love, to comfort, and to be. As the body of Christ in the world, we are reminded that our purpose is not to go it alone, but to journey together as a community of faith, caring for one another in our midst, and also continuing to move into the larger world to minister to others, and sometimes just to be a silent, loving presence. We never know when God may be working through us to help restore someone's faith, perhaps offer hope when in their lives hope is at its dimmest edge. We are called to share one another's burdens as well as joy. As the Catholic spiritual teacher, Sister Joan Chittister, has said, quote, "Real religion is not about building temples or shrines, but about healing hurts, speaking and being with the poor, the homeless, the voiceless, the helpless, and forgotten. Real religion is about transforming life. This is our very path to salvation." The Transfiguration comes midway through the disciples' ministry with Jesus and will signal a turning point. From here, they will journey together directly toward Jerusalem. Peter has begun to understand the messianic significance of Jesus, but he cannot grasp why the path Jesus has set must include suffering, rather than as a sustained triumphal ride. We all like a little triumph. He absolutely cannot comprehend what Jesus has foretold about Jesus' own death and resurrection. Sometimes words just aren't enough. When Jesus takes him and two others up a mountain, that terrain where in biblical times humanity and divinity could meet and mingle, Jesus gets their attention in a way that words alone cannot do. In the words of Rudolf Otto, the great 19th century theologian, that numinous, that non-rational presence that draws us forward, the experience and conviction of that will carry them through the long journey and beyond. Transfiguration moments, the burning bush and Mount Sinai for Moses, Elijah's ascension for Elisha. I suspect that each one of us has had transfiguration moments in our lives, large and many small ones, that have given us strength at difficult times, perhaps perplexed us, and maybe even turned our lives around. As rationally minded Episcopalians, we don't often talk or share our transfiguration moments, especially as freely as some of our brother and sister denominations. In fact, some of us may be outright queasy when people start talking about miracles, voices, and visions. For evangelicals, that transfiguration moment is a necessity. It's typically that born-again encounter with Jesus Christ, that very personal encounter that is essential to their very identity as Christians, that has turned their life around. Pentecostals experience transfiguration moments through the gifts of tongues or being slain in the Spirit. Had the disciples or many in the early church applied to an Episcopal discernment process, freely sharing their experiences of miracles, healings, visions, and voices, they probably would have been turned away, viewed as perhaps a little troubled. Many of us may be somewhat more familiar with those transfigure moments that are the still small voice that stirs deep within us, or perhaps that profound inner peace that overtakes us at moments when we're least expecting, assuring us that in the midst of the deepest storm in our own lives, that all will be okay. Some Episcopal transfiguration moments that others have shared have been deeply communal. They have come from the sense of being and praying together. What Emil Durkheim, great sociologist, would call a collective effervescence that transforms us to the sacred. Sometimes a caring look or touch, where people feel a connection through one another to a deeper, more profound reality, transforms us. And then, of course, the Eucharist. This is my body, which is given for you. Some years ago, a male priest who had once been against women clergy described to me his transfiguration moment that had come through a dilemma he had faced when confronted for the first time with an ordained woman at the altar. How could he possibly take communion from her? As he pondered what he would do as she celebrated the Eucharistic prayer, he had a momentary vision, that woman in front of him as the Virgin Mary. Could he refuse to take the body and blood of Christ because she was a woman? Transfiguration moments often catch us unaware, sometimes when we least expect them, and sometimes perhaps when we least want them. As was the disciples' experience, they can be unsettling, perhaps terrifying, but if we are open to them, they can stir within us a means of healing to a deeper, richer understanding of God that will help us through our most difficult times. Sometimes we are aware that a transfiguration moment is occurring, but we cannot fully be present to it, or we don't know what to do with it. We need to be with it, to ponder it a while. And sometimes our pain can be so profound that we cannot feel or respond. Even the deepest love of others can't reach us through our pain. This is where God journeys with us to the resurrection, where ultimately no pain, nothing can separate us from the eternal love of God. The wife of a former boss some years ago had been stricken with cancer. She fought bravely through treatments and reoccurrences until she had nothing left. At her memorial service, the rector had visited her very shortly before she passed away. He took her hand, And she turned to him and said, "Soon I'm going to be with Jesus." The rector shared this at the service, saying that she was not the kind of woman given to these kinds of phrases. Then added, "In that moment, I learned a lot about her faith and my own." Transfiguration ultimately is about resurrection. In the words of Sister Joan Chittister, the gospel of the Transfiguration calls us to understand the nature of religion itself. Religion doesn't call us to the rational. It is about changing ourselves so that we can change the world. Transfiguration moments are meant not only to give us strength and hope through our own faith, but more importantly, to help us share our faith and hope and the love of God through our love for one another as the living body of Christ. As we prepare our journey into Lent, I ask you to reflect on the transfiguration moments that you've experienced in your life, big and small. How have they stirred something in you, sustained you during difficult times, and guided you towards God's love? May we be open to God working through our own faith and to one another in ways that offer the spiritual reassurance that God is with us in the midst of our collective suffering, our sorrow, and our searching. As Christians, we know how this journey will lead. It will lead us to the resurrection, that ultimate transfiguration as God's eternal beloved community. Amen.